This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are worse as a fan base if we can't get a new stadium. So let's talk to someone who might have something to do about fixing that for all of us. The city council chairman, kind enough to join us again on Grant and Danny, is Phil Mendelson. He is on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Chairman Mendelson, thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm fine. I hope everybody's okay today.
So far,
yes,
so
sir,
good.
Yeah.
We are doing just
good.
Fine. Let's get to the bottom of where we're at with this stadium and get some insight from you. Let's just start with the involvement of the President of the United States. Did you see Donald Trump's comments coming, A, that he will get involved and stop the stadium deal, or B, that he wants the team name changed?
Did I see it ahead of time? No, absolutely not. I think it was a surprise to everyone. I have to say, I think it's a distraction. I have said that... What the council's interested in is working with the commanders to see if we can get to a deal that's a bit better than what the mayor had submitted.
The way it was explained to us is that he does have the ability, if he chooses to kill the deal either via executive action or the National Capital Planning Commission or the Commission of Fine Arts. Is that accurate, that if he decides legitimately that he wants this deal to not happen, that he has the power to actually shut it down?
I think it's a stretch. Why do I think it's a stretch? First of all, under the Constitution, Congress is who has jurisdiction over the issues involving the district, not the president. Second of all, because the land has been transferred by Congress, so the president would have to go through Congress to undo that. Third of all, the National Capital Planning Commission, if it has a role, that would be sometime in the future, maybe next year, and it would be, I believe, just advisory site plan review. People have been talking about these levers, but what I think is really going on is it's just a distraction. It's a distraction for the team, a distraction for us, and maybe a distraction for the president as well.
So, Mr. Chairman, could you shed some light here on what is the timetable? Where are you guys at now? I remember there was you were looking for more information, totally understandable. What's been delivered and kind of where are you guys at? Walk us through that, if you would.
Well, as you know, this is like a $3.5 billion project, and it involves not just the stadium, but also a couple of large parcels which are supposed to have mixed-use development on them. The mayor had negotiated a July 15th deadline for the council to act, but then gave us 6 weeks to consider the legislation. She didn't send it to us until right after Memorial Day. So we've had this now for not even 2 months, and we are working. We've had a number of meetings with the commanders. I have to say the commanders have been really good partners at the negotiation table. And we're working as quickly as we can toward a resolution and then a vote.
D.C. City Council Chair Phil Mendelson is with us here on Grant and Danny. When you were on with us initially, it was maybe days or even a week or two after the initial press conference. And at that time, you said, hey, it's only been days. And moments ago, you said it's only been 8 weeks. Like, what is the line of demarcation on enough time for you guys to do what you need to do? Like, in 3 months, is it, hey, it's only been 19 weeks? Like, how long does it take?
Well, let's see. When we had Audi Field proposal before us, it was 7 months. And when we had the Nationals baseball stadium, if I remember correctly, that was over a year. I'm not saying that we need to take that much time. In fact, I have said repeatedly that we are working as quickly as possible to get to an agreement with the Commanders. And I can't emphasize that enough, moving quickly. So the mayor had an announcement at the end of April, but then she took a month to send us the legislation. And when she sent us the legislation, we said, well, can you please give us the economic study that you did so we can understand the economics of this? And it took her another 2-3 weeks to get us that. That has not been the case with the Commanders. Everything we've asked for from them, they've been very responsive and very prompt. The mayor forgot to ask for a tax abatement financial analysis. We asked for that. We're getting that, I believe, later this week. The council's, our budget office has done an economic impact statement, which we will get this week. And just last week, we got the report from our consultant, the Robert Bob Group. These reports are useful to our understanding and the public understanding what the effects are and the benefits of this project, of the stadium. And getting all these reports in less than 2 months, I don't think that's dragging our feet, not even close.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You mentioned Audi Field, 7 months, Nats Park, over a year. There obviously was not a risk that either of those venues were not going to end up in D.C., which changes the algorithm a little bit, if you're of the belief that Maryland is actually a factor, right? The exclusive negotiating window for D.C. went through 1 week ago. So if Wes Moore wants to, he could be talking to Josh Harris as you're on the phone with us right now. I mean, do you think that there's any reality that they end up anywhere else? And should that be something you guys consider to expedite the timeline from those other venues that were clearly always going to be in D.C.? There wasn't really much competition.
Well, I don't want to be glib, but I think no. My answer is no. I believe that Governor Moore said a week ago he wasn't interested or wasn't talking to the Commanders. But, you know, the Commanders would have to start all over again if they were to go somewhere else. And we're pretty far down the road with our discussions. I mean, they reached a tentative agreement with the mayor, and then they've been in negotiations with my office, and we're very, very far down the road. So, no, but, you know, I think that's interesting but unnecessary speculation. Again, we're moving quickly to try to get to an agreement.
D.C. City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson, kind enough to join us here on Grant and Danny. And Mr. Chairman, how close are you to being, I don't have a better word for this, I apologize, but satisfied? I know you had some concerns that you'd expressed before you'd seen all the information. I know some of your colleagues had as well. How close are you and some of your compatriots to being, you know, satiated, satisfied that, hey, this is now the kind of deal that we want for the city?
Well, we have to work within what the mayor had negotiated, and she negotiated roughly an $856 million direct subsidy. But in addition, she had negotiated that there would be absolutely zero tax revenues coming to the city from this. And then she also negotiated the exclusive right for the team to develop these two parcels, and with no deadlines for things like the housing or producing the retail and so forth. So we're working within that framework. I think that if we can improve the financial terms, that we get at least some of the tax revenues from the site, I think that would be a good thing. And I think that if we can have some assurances that the promises of the mixed-use development will occur within timelines that have been suggested. If we can have assurances of that, I think that's a good thing. There already are environmental requirements that are required just by virtue of the location. So there are a lot of issues that have been brought up by folks. I think that which is most important is the financial aspects, as well as assurances of the other development being completed, and that would leave me satisfied.
Has the team given in on anything over the last 6.5 weeks that's changed the deal as we saw it in that dossier?
You mean, do you want me to share with you what we've been negotiating?
Yes.
I don't think that will happen.
Okay, well,
not today.
Let me ask you a different way then. You don't have to give me specifics, obviously, but I don't think it's unreasonable to say. Does the team believe that the deal that they put forth is the final deal, or are they negotiating and tweaking things to your liking? Are they playing ball in that regard?
I would say they're playing ball. I would definitely say that. And they are anxious that they get past the council and can proceed to the next step, although actually I'm a little surprised that the mayor has not actually begun there's a subsequent agreement that has to be drafted, and I don't think she's begun any of the work on that. But they want to get there as quickly as possible. I want to respect that, and I think that there's that creates a context for the discussions.
The reason I ask that is because each of the council members that we've had on along the way that currently aren't yeses, let's say, have said essentially that by the time the fall rolls around, they're very hopeful that a deal gets struck and they think they could be a yes. But when I hear that, I go, okay, well, it's got to be a different deal that's on the table right now. The assumption is that there's just going to be some agreement in the fall. Like, oh, we're not ready to vote now, but we'll vote in the fall. And my point is, well, what if the team just says this is the deal? Why would that change in the fall? It just seems like a vague way to say, well, we'll get something done in the fall.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I have been very careful to not talk about dates at all. So I'm not going to talk about the fall or any other date. I think I have said all along that I think that the deal can and should be made better for the district. What exactly that means, you know, that different people could interpret that differently, but I think the deal can be made better for the district, and I will just repeat, we're trying to do this as quickly as possible.
Mr. Chairman, is there, from you guys' side, a kind of point of no return? And I guess what I mean is, if there's something that, you know, the team or the mayor or whomever might be involved here is intractable on or won't change their mind on, or, you know, because you can sense there's like a sense of time and pressure externally, not from you guys, but from, I would say, the other side, you know, with lack of a better way to quantify it. Is there a point of no return for you guys as well where you go, you know what, we probably can't go down this road anymore?
You mean in terms of having a stadium? I think a majority of the members want to get to yes.
What's
and,
TS?
I've thought
to
that
yes.
for a while.
Oh, to yes. Yes, sorry.
And I've thought that for a while, and I think that's still true, that a majority of the members want to get to yes. So when I hear comments, which I have heard from some other folks, not on the council, about how the council wants to blow up this deal, that's just not correct.
Can you go back to the subsequent agreement that has to be drafted that you referenced that you're surprised the mayor has not drafted yet? What does that mean?
Oh, it's called the Development and Financing Agreement, DFA, and it has a lot of details in it, and that has to get negotiated. So with Monumental Sports, it probably took a couple months for the mayor's folks to negotiate that DFA. The council already had legislation that approved the financing. There was some news around this when I pulled the legislation out of the Budget Support Act, which is a very complex document that's associated with our budget, and made this a separate legislation. And that's what we're having the hearing on next week. That sets a framework in law that is more binding than the term sheet that the mayor had. And then within that framework of the law is the DFA, or Development Financing Agreement.
Chairman of the D.C. City Council, Phil Mendelson, kind enough to give us some time here on Grant and Danny to catch everybody up to speed on where we're at in the quest for a stadium in the nation's capital. The team has said that they want this stadium opened in 2030, whether it's in D.C. or not. And that means they have to break ground by next year. And they work back from that essentially to say that they need to know imminently. I mean, they said by the 15th, obviously it's now the 22nd, but that the fall doesn't really work. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I guess two things. One is that I think we're all supportive of their having the stadium open in 2030. That's 5 years from now. And I think that their timeline, because I've seen it, has room in it for our flexibility in it for getting things done. But there's another issue here, and that is that, you know, there's a lot of noise on the outside, the most recent being the president's tweets. And I think the team is anxious to get past that, and I don't blame them, to get past that so that they are on a more confident course.
Mr. Chairman, what do you think the biggest obstacle remaining is for you guys and the team and the mayor and everybody to come to an accord?
Well, I think that this pressure to vote quickly and to vote quickly and to maybe not do all the due diligence, that is an obstacle. On the other hand, I think that if we can improve the terms of the deal, that will help a lot.
When do you guys go on recess? I keep hearing August. When in August is
that? Oh, well, you should never ask a legislator a question like that because you'll get a technical or arcane answer. We're technically on recess, and we have amended our rules so that we can proceed with the hearing, and we've always been able in our rules to be able to have a legislative meeting during recess if we want.
Okay, so the idea, what I keep reading is that in August, you guys basically take your break. And if you don't vote before that break, then you don't vote until after you come back. That's not correct?
It doesn't have to be that way. It never has been ironclad that it has to be that way. I think it's just the expectation that when July 15th happens, we all go on vacation and you can't reach us for 2 months. That's not true.
But is there a date in August where you guys go on some more formal break?
It's actually July 15th.
Oh, so it already started. That was the 15th.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, you're joining us from vacation now. Thank you very much.
Yes. Happy vacation.
No, because I have to talk to you guys.
Well, this is relaxing and peaceful.
Yes, it is. I'm enjoying this. July 28th, we're voting on the budget. So that's because the mayor sent the budget 2 months late to us, and we're probably the last jurisdiction other than Congress to adopt a budget. But so we're meeting next week. That's an example of meeting during recess.
So there's essentially, there's no date you need to vote before. Otherwise, we have to wait a few months to get it back on the table. That was the case in the Virginia legislature at one point. That's how this has been covered in the media multiple places I've seen. You're saying you can vote any day you want to on this between now and the rest of time, basically.
Technically, that's correct.
What about not technically?
Well, I don't know of another time when we have had a meeting during recess, but I don't know of another year where we've had a meeting during recess. But as I said, we're having a meeting next week to adopt the budget.
All right. This is very complicated. I want you to know that. As a guy who's not in D.C.
Yeah, you can
politics,
tell we don't do this.
You thoroughly confused me with your last few answers. So when is recess over? Like, if I'm a kid shooting a basketball hoop and eventually I've got to go back in the classroom to sit down in Mrs. Schuler's room, when is that recess end?
Our recess ends September 15th. July 15th to September 15th every year.
Okay. Do you anticipate having a vote before September 15th?
Oh, I'm not going to speculate on that.
Okay.
I've been asked that many times. You're not the first to ask. I'm just not going to speculate on that.
How far from a vote would you say that you are?
Ah, nice try.
Thank you.
yes. The important thing is the commanders and I have been working well, constructively, diligently. We're trying to get to an agreement that can lead to a vote as quickly as possible. And I'm not going to speculate when that would be.
The president wants the team to change its name. I know you're saying
yes.
This is a distraction, and I totally get that. In a hypothetical, would them being named the Redskins in any way change anything for the city council's willingness to build them a stadium?
I haven't talked to other members, but my guess is no. It wouldn't change it for me, but I don't even know why we're talking about that, other than that the president did those tweets.
Well, that's kind of why.
I would say that's the reason.
That would be the reason. So, but you understand my question. You'll have to educate me a little bit, because I didn't have to follow this like it was a 400-level class before, not being on the radio back then. But there was a time where the belief was the team could never have a stadium in D.C. again as the Redskins, that the name would need to change. And my point is, if the name is forced to change back, are we still at a point where the powers that be would say, we're not going to support a team named the Redskins? It sounds like you're saying
that. I think what's missing from what you just said is that the ownership was also very unpopular.
So it was never the name that was preventative of getting back to D.C. It was Dan Snyder.
I would say it was probably the two together.
But if one's gone,
folks are excited about the team, and they had a great season last year. That's changed a lot of attitudes.
Certainly has.
At this point, yeah.
Bob Studdy's out. I saw some of that dropped. What were the big concerns, if any, that they had on what they read through? And was that how does that work? Is that an independent study? Obviously, you guys hire them. I'm sure if the team hired someone to do a study, it would be a little more, you know, team-friendly than someone you guys hire. But how does that work exactly?
Well, it was helpful for us to get the analysis. There was a lot of focus in the analysis of what they call risk. And by that, for instance, the stadium is supposed to be done by 2030. What's the risk that it won't be? I think that risk is actually minimal. But there are other things like there's supposed to be housing built up to 6,000 units. What's the risk that won't get built for a long time? Somebody was telling me yesterday about a stadium in another city, I can't remember which one, where there was a lot of ancillary development promised, and decades later it hadn't been built. So the Robert Bob analysis looked at risk, where there was risk, and made some suggestions in terms of how we could approach that. And I referred to that earlier in saying that one of the ways that we need to make the deal better is to get clear on what dates by when they expect different aspects of the development to be completed, and then how do we hold them to that.
Mr. Chairman, we've kept you too long. Really appreciate the time and insight. Appreciate how forthcoming you are as well. Thank you.
Sure. No, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Good insight from Phil Mendelson, who is the chair of the D.C. City Council, joining us on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.